This is the Graybar Sports on a Sunday morning.
Goldschmidt swings and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Milliken's win! Milliken's win!
Now, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
Welcome back to the show. I had someone on Twitter respond to me and respond to the fact that we had a lineup of guests and said the media in St. Louis is giving the coach a soft pass with discussions about Contreras' smile and who's the emergency catcher. Inconsistent hitting, we already know that. They're 4-6 and slipping when it matters most. This is the topic at hand. Oh, really, Bill? I didn't realize that. I didn't know that they were a game under 500 and 4-6 in their last 10 or whatever you're referring to. I didn't know that they're out of the playoff race and that their offense has stunk all year. Sorry, I didn't realize that. No, I think I asked the questions and the manager answers and you can hear what you want to hear. But when I asked the manager, basically, what more can he do? And the manager might actually be upset with me that I'm pushing buttons and asking about taking risk, or is he gambling out there, or what is he, is there anything more that he can do, is basically my point. Because my point is that this is an organizational issue. It's not the manager. It's very easy for somebody to say it's just Ollie Marmol. No, it's Ollie Marmol and his staff and the front office and the players. The players get paid a lot of money to produce. So it's everybody at hand. It's not one person. And it's not a collection of these people. It's everybody. There, except for maybe Mason Wynn and Alec Burleson. Maybe Ryan Helsley. I can't think of anybody who gets through 2024 and saying that they did above what they were expected or anything even close to what their expectation was. Everybody else has had a struggling year. It's across the board. Okay? So it's very simple. When I have the manager on, I ask questions about what's happening in this moment. It's not talking about anything more than why are they in this situation and what is going on with Wilson Contreras. And if I want to ask about Wilson Contreras putting on a positive spin on what has been a horrible year, then I'm going to ask it. I'm not going to apologize for asking about how Wilson Contreras is doing. That's unfortunate what happened to him, okay? So it's not that hard. So you can hear what you want to hear, and you can be negative, or you can listen to the program and understand that this is about a team that has not done well. We're going to find out that it has been I've said this a million times, it has been a slow regression from the top down, that they have not been good for a while now. This is not news. They were not good last year, and it was a prelude to what we are seeing now, which is a team that is just a baseball team trying to scrape together and make the playoffs here at the last second, which it appears they are going to have a very, very difficult climb in doing so. It goes back to 22, 21, pre-COVID. Go all the way back. The Cardinals have not been a powerhouse in the National League for a long time. So at some point, you have to look internally and say, you don't have to do any, make drastic changes, in my estimation, but you do have to make one honest decision and say, the way we are doing it is not the way to win anymore. These other teams have replicated what we do. The Cardinals used to be the innovators. They used to be the team everybody wanted to be. They have this great farm system. They teach them well. They bring them up. They add a player. That player becomes a star. And they go on to the playoffs and sometimes win the World Series. That has now been copied by a lot of teams, and they are doing it bigger and better, actually, than the Cardinals are. So at some point, the Cardinals need to look inside and say, what can we do? What are the other teams doing well that we should be doing? And then you go steal those people. You go to the Orioles. You go to the Dodgers. You go to some other teams that are really doing well right now and finding it and getting the best out of their young players. And you say, you know, maybe we should steal some of those coaches and put them in the minor leagues. Maybe we should take this front office person who's like third on the totem pole and elevate him to two. And, you know, they actually have already started this by their announcement last year that they were hiring Heim Bloom as an advisor, another set of eyes from the outside to evaluate what they are doing, to look at what they are doing. And that's exactly what they've done. I'm not saying Heim Bloom's going to take over for John Mozeliak, but certainly he would be a candidate, I would think, when Mozeliak's contract expires in 2025 and they have a succession plan in place. Is Heim Bloom part of that? And who else will be part of that overseeing this next era of Cardinal baseball? And there will be people who their jobs are going to be on the line after this year because it didn't go well. But we'll get to that in the month of October. If the Cardinals are not playing in October, that's not good. They missed the playoffs back-to-back years. It's not good. None of this is good. None of this is fun, except for the fact that you get to put on the uniform and play Cardinal baseball. You get to play for the St. Louis Cardinals. The best thing this team can do right now is to play with pride, finish strong, and then figure out what the future holds for these young players, for their veterans with expiring contracts, for the staff, for the front office, for everything. Everything needs to be evaluated with this franchise, and that is what's going to happen over the course of the next 6 months. It's a 365-day-a-year sport. The Cardinals are a crown jewel of Major League Baseball. Their attendance has fallen. They need to find a way to get people back engaged in the ballpark and enthusiastic. They're out there. It's a sleeping giant. We all know that. The fans are there. Some of them have not come to the game for a variety of reasons, and it is their job to get them back and re-engage and get them going. I love engaging with fans. I love especially any negativity that comes because it creates conversation. One thing you do not want if you're the Cardinals is fan apathy. If fans start to drop off and say, I don't care, or I haven't, do they play today? I don't even know who are they playing, or my kids aren't paying attention to them, or whatever it is. Those are bad signs. You don't want that. Okay. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about St. Louis City SC. And Lutz Vandenseel, sporting director for City, will be with us. They had a tough one last night. Tough one. No question. Back in a moment on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports on a Sunday morning.
Little Smith swings and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Milliken's win! Milliken's win!
Once again, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
We are back. Sports on a Sunday morning on KMOX. Sporting director of St. Louis City SC, Lutz Vandenseel, is with us on the line live after a late night. We appreciate it, Lutz. Thank you.
Good morning. A little bit of a red eye, but ready to talk to you.
Well, I appreciate you, and thank you. I won't keep you too long, but I do appreciate the conversation, as you know, and I appreciate City's effort last night. It's just, I know it's frustrating. It's a 4-4 draw. It's 1 point where it could have been three, and we've heard this many times. How do you evaluate what happened last night in Portland?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's a bit somehow the story of the season that we are scoring goals on the road and we having leads for a very long time, but we are just not being able to maintain the lead, give silly goals away very late into the game, which costs you point. And, you know, yesterday you 1-0 up, you 2-0 up, you 3-1 up, you 4-2 up, you basically lead the whole game. And somehow you always miss the moments to manage the game and keep a two-goal lead for a longer time. You always let the opponent back into the game, and this is what punished us in the end of the day. You know, there's lots of positives. I mean, scoring four goals away from home, scoring also some beautiful goals and creating good chances was definitely something good to watch. But then again, you know, I can turn it easily around and say, well, scoring four goals away from home must be normally enough to get a win. What else can you expect from the offensive department if you can't even get four goals over the line here? So that's something we talked about during the week. You know, it's the other results also didn't go our 100% way we wanted it, and nothing has changed. We're still 10 points behind that spot we want. So it's all about trying and believing, but it felt awful after the game. You know, getting a draw away from home is never really a bad result, but it felt like it ripped our heart out in the last minute.
I'm certain it did. Is it one or two little things, or is it just an accumulation of things, Lutz? Is there one thing strategically you can point to that has caused that to happen?
No, I think, you know, we had this year, this season, more clean sheets than last season. So we have games where we defend very well. I think it's more or less just now. We spoke a lot about the challenge part, Tom, in recent weeks. And we had Henry Kessler yesterday on for the first time. So our back line is still not really that used to each other like we wanted it to be, because it was tub-tight. On the other side, you saw that with the new players, Simon Becher, Marcel Hartl, Teuchert, they all were in big form. Both of them scored. Hartl had 3 assists. So that goes really well, and that's something I think from a looking potentially into the future, that's pretty good. But defensively, we just need to get a bit more organized. I think Henry Kessler in his debut had a really good game. But it's not always one person in the back. We got cooked too many times over the wings. You know, we gave Portland too many times to hurt us over the side. And we looked terrible in the air, to be honest. You know, there was every corner, every free kick, every high ball into the box. You knew there will be a chance coming out, and that's something we just need to work on in the coming days.
Can you speak to the importance of transition? You know, there's a lot that we see in a game. We see goals, we see stops, we see goals from the other team. What happens in between is pretty much soccer, isn't it? I mean, to put things simply, you have to be able to tighten up that part of the game.
Yeah, 100%. I have to say, well spotted. I mean, we did very well yesterday on our offensive transition, winning the ball and going forward and, you know, outnumbering Portland and creating chances. But that's exactly what bit us on the other side. If you look at the first goal we conceded, now we are 2-0 up and there is no pressure on the ball and we have a very easy loss of possession and Portland turns us over within 4 seconds and scores the goal, which is out of our own ball possession. So sometimes to be a bit calmer on the ball, manage the game, take a bit of speed out and try to hold the 2-goal lead a bit longer would be the answer there. So yeah, definitely our defensive transition was not good yesterday. That's how Portland actually beat us. In many situations, and that's another one where, you know, as good we were in the offensive transition, as bad we were in the defensive one.
Now, on the positive side of things, the play of Hartl, Teuchert, you mentioned Becher, certainly is encouraging, and that has seemed to even elevate Leuven to another level. The future of that trio along with Leuven, how do you see things moving forward with your franchise?
Oh yeah, I mean, you know, I told you last week, if I look into 25 and we stay away from the crazy injury-prone season we had, we will have a very good squad together. There's no doubt. Simon really, you know, I had big expectations in the kid, but he so far unbelievable. I mean, he's very dangerous. He's very hardworking. And don't forget, Klaus is back. You know, Klaus, all the boys, the 3 injured players could have traveled yesterday, but we wanted to give them this one more week of recovery, especially playing on a difficult turf field. Coming back from injury would not have been ideal. Hartl's impact and also Teuchert's impact are, I think, very easy to spot. So yeah, we have a lot of positives to look into that part. I think you know, it showed yesterday, scoring 4 goals. You mentioned it, Edu. Edu is just at the moment doing really well, like a magnet, getting the balls and really spreading them around, being involved in every attack. So there's lots of positives, but then again, you know, I'm not here to just look at the positives. I'm actually more here to look at the negatives, which I can't really share with you on radio. That's something I need to work out in my head. And that's already what starts now in the next few weeks, where I want to have a clear plan what we're going to do in 2025 on maybe 1 or 2 more positions. And then I'm positive that we will be all right.
This is Lutz Vanensteel, sporting director, St. Louis City SC, as his team ends up in a draw with Portland yesterday. The final was 4-4. Now you get to play at home. You'll take on LA Galaxy. It's going to be on September 1st, a 1:45 game, a little afternoon game on a Sunday, Labor Day weekend. Tell us finally about LA Galaxy 1 and 2 returning back home to City Park and what that means to you.
Yeah, we said that home games are our bread and butter. Home games is the ones we need to win, you know, to always be a playoff contender. Now, LA Galaxy, not the easiest opponent. I think they're leading our conference at the moment. They just signed this Marco Reus, German legendary player, actually a former roommate and the best friend of Roman Bürki, who had a big impact yesterday on his debut as well. And they're playing at the moment probably the most exciting and best football in the last 5, 6, maybe even longer years. But that, you know, we're not in a position to look at the opponent. Whoever comes here, we need to be able to beat, and we need to be dominant, and we need to believe in what we do. So if we can get a performance offensively on the field like we did yesterday and it's a home game, I'm positive it doesn't matter who our opponent is. But definitely an interesting time. Kickoff time on a Sunday, so it will be a bit of a different crowd. You know, we really need the support. I think it's now. It was yesterday, step one, Tom, into the mission playoffs. So some people will call it Mission Impossible. It's still alive. Step two is coming on Sunday, and if you get that mini series of winning 3-4 games in a row, you know, you straight away back into the mixer. So that's, I think, it's a great way to look forward to play a top team like LA Galaxy. And somehow move this momentum in the right direction.
Well, I will say this, 3-point wins will add up quickly. As you mentioned, if you can stack them, who knows what you can do. Mission playoffs, I like that actually. Lutz Pfannensteel, Sporting Director, St. Louis City SC, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for doing this, especially with a quick turnaround. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom.
We will take a break, but when we come back, let's talk some baseball with you. We'll open up the phone lines at 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. You know I love talking to the fans about this game and this team. 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. Really anything you want to get into, but I know the Cardinals are a hot topic. It's KMOX after all, and we absolutely can talk about this club. The many negatives, some positives about what's happening with this team moving forward, but where they are right now is not positive. It's not a good situation. We can get into it. There's also, if you prefer not to call in, you can, if you want, go to the Odyssey app, and there's a little microphone icon. So when you listen to the live feed, there's a little microphone. You can click on it, and you can actually record yourself saying something. Now, I just ask you to do the civil thing and just keep it, let's keep it clean, okay? But James, our producer, James O'Sullivan, will be taking those and we'll distribute those as well. 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. We'll open up the phone lines. John Mozeliak, unfortunately, can't be with us today. He told us that yesterday. We will take a quick timeout, and when we come back, it's more sports on a Sunday morning on KMOX and 1145, a very special event. Albert Pujols back in St. Louis on September 9th. We'll tell you how you can meet Albert on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports on a Sunday morning.
Goldschmidt swings and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Gray Bar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Milliken's win! Milliken's win!
Once again, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
Love your show. Listen every week. I think people are upset because of the way Matheny was treated and why Mike Schilt was let go. Why isn't the same standard applying now?
Okay, fair question. Thank you for the compliment. That's one of our sound-offs. I like calling it sound-off. That was an old section. Did the Post-Dispatch still do that? Am I ripping it off of the Post-Dispatch, the sound-off section? I got ripped in that one time when I was a youngster. And Bernie Miklas called me and said, hey, let me tell you something. I was like 23 years old, 24, young guy. And he said, hey, you ain't a player in this town until you've been ripped in the sound off section. Okay, congratulations. That's why I love that guy. It's like my big brother. Anyway, to your point, and it is a good one that people do wonder. Why is Ollie Marmol still employed and Mike Matheny, the treatment of Mike Matheny, I heard that, I'm not really sure what that is, and why Mike Schilt was fired. Mike Schilt, they never explained why Mike Schilt was fired, but all they said was philosophical differences. Ollie Marmol was hired as a contrast to Mike Schilt, who they felt was not going along with how they do things, which is kind of accentuating my point, is that they just gave Ollie a contract extension. I mean, it really doesn't mean a whole lot when it comes to, you know, how much it would cost to terminate his contract if they decided to go that route. They are tied to Ollie Marmol because they did relieve Mike Schilt of his duties in favor of Ollie, who was said to be more on board with the harmony of the organization. And Ollie Marmol, in my estimation, is not at fault here. Again, this is an organizational thing. This is not fire Ollie Marmol and everything is going to be fine. Ollie Marmol is the manager in the dugout for an organization that has been inconsistent in its product. Last year, the pitching was not up to par. They did not supplement it well enough. The offense was good, tried to do too much, and the whole thing collapsed. This year, it's been the other way around. They added pitching, 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 and the offense was largely untouched, and then it fell apart. And the pitching has done all it can, I think, to try to keep this thing going, and in some cases didn't do very well. So it's, you know, at some point, the manager doesn't hit. You know, the manager doesn't get up there and tell them to go hit. I mean, he puts them in a position. The players do have to execute. But, you know, the manager of a team of the caliber of the St. Louis Cardinals is not bulletproof. I mean, you have a lot of heat on you all the time, without question. And I think it's absolutely understandable why people would not be pleased with what is happening out here right now. Nobody should be pleased with a game under 500 if you're the St. Louis Cardinals. So it's just the way it is. It's a tough thing to swallow, but it's just the way it is. But I have said this now multiple times. I don't believe that it is solely the manager's fault, and you probably don't either, even if you're anti-manager or whatever. You know, the manager is the front man. But there's much more than that, if that makes sense. All right, let me get to some. I know we have some other. Actually, why don't you play the other comment? This is the microphone icon on the Odyssey app. Then we'll get to some phone calls. We'll kind of rip through them. Go right ahead.
Tom Ackerman, well said. At best, we are a 500 team, and Cardinal Nation does not accept the 500 team. We have too much history, too many good things. Second most World Series rings in the whole baseball world. Keep up the good work. Ollie, you got to answer the questions. Best regards, Tom. David Monahan.
Okay, thank you, David, for the comment. And Ollie does answer the questions. You know, he's very good about it. In fact, he and I do stay regularly in contact about a lot of things. And he is, I think, very good at answering reporters' questions. It is not easy to sit there and take L's one after the other and answer a lot of the same questions, just rephrased. You know, we're doing a lot of things that we can to get answers out of the manager because that's what we're supposed to do. But he does a good job of answering those questions, I think, and making himself available. But I appreciate all the compliments. Let's go to Tom on KMOX. Tom, welcome to the show.
Good morning. If pitching is 100% of baseball, the Cardinals used to develop players the Cardinal way, and I think we have lost the Cardinal way. You mentioned a couple of managers that got fired. They grew up the Cardinal way. There's a number of other people that are in professional baseball today as managers that grew up the Cardinal way, and we're not doing that anymore. I think Mike Schilt got fired because of a statement I heard him say, "I can only use the players that they got me, that they gave me. I'm sorry."
That probably didn't help.
When was the last time we drafted and developed a starting pitcher?
Oh, it's been a long time since they were able to develop. I mean, Jack Flaherty, you know, who has become a really good one, but it didn't develop into anything more than the second half of 2019 and portions of a few years later until he was ultimately dealt in a bad year last year in 22. So, you know, there is, and I mentioned it in the beginning of this hour, that it is time, and they have already started this process, to get outside sets of eyes to look at the entire thing that the Cardinals are doing, but also to go steal people from other teams, not discuss and talk to and consider taking. I'm talking about stealing people from other teams and giving them an opportunity to revive a sleeping giant in the St. Louis Cardinals, which is one of the great franchises, not only in baseball, but in sports, and to give someone an opportunity to help, whether it is a coach at the single A level or someone to help in the front office or somebody to help the coaching staff. You know, it is about developing, drafting, and developing players for the Cardinals, but really for any franchise. Free agency is actually not how you win. You don't just go write checks and spend $300, $400 million. That does not work. Free agency is supposed to be patch. So if you don't have a shortstop, for example, the Cardinals do, but if you didn't have a shortstop and you had a big hole there, you spend $30, $40 million or $50 million or whatever for Trey Turner or somebody like that. That is what free agency should be. You patch up something that you did not develop through your own organization. And the Cardinals just have to reevaluate where they are in all of that. How do they also stop from players going elsewhere and thriving? Did they give those players the proper opportunities and trust to grow within their own organization? And did they have a better plan in place to have those players eventually become starters and not be blocked? You know, so all those things are being evaluated right now and should be and need to be. And above all else, I truly believe this. I feel like I've hammered this home. They need to go find people from other organizations and bring them in to give this thing another look. Mike, you're on KMOX. It's great to have you.
Yes. I'd like to know, do you think the St. Louis Cardinals are going to move?
No, they're not going to move. They'll be here forever. Forever and ever. They are the heartbeat of St. Louis. Rick, you're on KMOX. Great to have you along.
Thanks, Tom. I have two comments. One, I have not attended a Cardinal game in over 5 years because I saw back then that the club was over-reliant on the farm system and reluctant to sign big-name free agents. The other thing is that they would be crazy if they re-signed Paul Goldschmidt. His decline started in September of 22 when he stopped hitting, even though he got the MVP, and has continued since. Thanks.
Thank you. And I care about you a lot because you call into the show in that fashion and make comments about the Cardinals. It does tell me that you have a burning passion for this franchise to be great, and you are protesting in that way, and that's okay. I would do anything to get you back in the ballpark, but I certainly appreciate you listening to the show. Your point about Paul Goldschmidt is taken. If I were the Cardinals, I would be thinking very long and hard about what you're going to do with Goldschmidt. I'm not getting into any sort of competition in terms of trying to sign him to a certain number. Would I be open to bringing him back at a significant reduction for 1 year? Maybe. But right now, you've got to think about what's moving forward, and you have to be honest and evaluate what has gone wrong for him since his MVP season in 22. Is it age? Is it health? Obviously, he provides a lot of leadership, and he's a terrific first baseman still and a smart player. But this is a game about production and about producing for the long haul. The Cardinals need to think about what their team is going to look like in 25, 6, and 7 with a young core to build around. Damian, you're on. Who is it? Don. We'll skip Damian. Damian's dropped off, I think. Don, you're on KMOX.
Yeah, Tom Ackerman. I enjoy your show, and I listen to you every Sunday, and I am a big-time Cardinal fan. I haven't gone to a game the last 2 years, one, because I lost my twin brother in 22, so I can't go down there without him. I feel his loss, but that's not the point I called here. The point is, what they think they got for when they signed Sonny Gray. I mean, to me, he's like a third starter in that rotation. To me, he's not a number one or a number two, Tom. And the ownership, I want to blast them because they don't spend any money. I'm not saying they have to go out and spend money like Philadelphia or L.A. or the Dodgers, but at least spend some money to get the fans' interest, get people back in the ballpark, get people wanting to come down there. I mean, right now the fans don't have no reason to come down there because this is a losing organization, Tom. And basically, they don't know how to evaluate talent. This is an organization that doesn't know how to do that. And when you don't know how to evaluate talent, Tom, you're going to be on a losing end nine out of 10 times. And like I said, they're crying about people not showing up down there now at the stadium. Well, why do you think they're not showing up there down, Tom? They're tired of seeing people, this team lose, and they're spending their hard-earned money to go down into this stadium and to see a good product on the field, and they're not getting their money's worth, Tom. And
yeah, I get it, Don. Thank you very much for that. 40 or so percent, I think, when I heard last on the weekends, are fans from out of town who come in for the weekend and spend their money in downtown and travel in and maybe stay with friends and family also, and not always hotels, and go to the games as a vacation destination. And so perhaps some of those fans have decided to take a different route, but in some cases like yours, Don, I'm assuming you live in St. Louis, so you've decided not to do that and protesting the product. Some people don't come downtown because they fear for safety. They don't perceive downtown to be safe, especially at night. Some people don't come to the Cardinals game because they don't see the game on TV. So out of sight, out of mind. In some cases, the marketing machine that is the Cardinals needs that television to thrive too. So sometimes maybe that could, there's a variety of factors, but overarching factor is that the product is not of championship caliber in their eyes, and they want to show that they will support a championship product. And it gets back to what we were saying, is the Cardinals have to find a way to get back to that giant, that machine, that elite Cardinals team. Do they spend money? Yes, they do actually spend money. If you look at the payroll and where they are in relation to the rest of baseball, they don't always spend it. They don't always get the best for their value, but they have spent money. It's not like they don't spend. I'm not an advocate for wildly spending for free agency. This is about developing an organization. They do have talented players. Actually, they evaluate it pretty well. It's just that some of those talented players go elsewhere, and they've got to figure that out also. But there are some good ones coming. I mean, J.J. Weatherholt is an excellent, excellent baseball player. Alec Burleson has emerged into a very, very good player. Mason Winn is a star at shortstop. I still believe that Jordan Walker will be a very good player, and I am concerned a little bit that there aren't a lot of great pitching prospects coming, but that's something that they need to figure out as well. It is a process, no question, that the Cardinals are undergoing right now. They are still the St. Louis Cardinals, a huge brand with tons of championship history and a pedigree, but that also comes with very high standards, and they can't just be another baseball team. They have to be a World Series contender. They've set that standard themselves. It is part of the expectation. We will take a break. We will come back with someone who won, he won't be with us, won a lot of championships, and that's Albert Pujols. But the executive director of the Pujols Family Foundation is going to tell you how you can meet him next.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports on a Sunday morning.
Goldschmidt swings and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Gray Bar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Milliken's win! Milliken's win!
Once again, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
Welcome back to the show. Well, the big man is coming back home.
Pujols with the widespread stance, arms out over the plate. Bickford from the stretch. The 1-1 pitch. A swing, and there it goes! Left field, way back! That's home run number 700! Pujols hits a three-run homer, and he hit 699 and 700 at Dodger Stadium on September 23rd, 2022.
We are joined by the executive director of the Pujols Family Foundation, and that is Todd Perry. Todd, welcome back to KMOX.
Hey, Tom, thanks for having me.
It's always fun to hear that highlight, and Albert Pujols will be here in St. Louis, Chesterfield's Top Golf specifically, on September 9th for a big event. Tell us about the Pujols Family Foundation night at Top Golf.
Yeah, Tom, we have a it's one of our fundraisers that we have every year, and Albert is coming back, and he is going to be hosting our Top Golf event, and we're going to have a lot of support from the Cardinals. But it's always great to have Albert back in town, and you know, we do have a few bays left. Those bays can be purchased through the Pujols Family Foundation by going to our website or calling us directly. But, yeah, it's going to be a great time and for a great cause.
Now, I've been to this event. You literally are hitting golf balls next to Cardinals players, and Albert is walking around, and he may take a few whacks as well. You just never know.
Yeah, he's very interactive with the crowd, and, you know, he just loves it. I mean, we have a good representation from self-advocates with Down syndrome. We always keep it real with our mission. And Albert, I mean, he's just he's always in the mix. He always gets a lot of photos and things and just makes everybody feel welcome.
If you ever wanted to meet Albert Pujols, see him, you know, if you've been to Top Golf in Chesterfield, what a great facility that is. This is called the Ultimate Drive at Top Golf. It's September 9th, and it benefits the Pujols Family Foundation. Todd, we've been talking about them for years, but tell us what the latest is with the foundation and what you do for the community.
Well, things at the foundation are really busier than ever. I mean, a lot of people ask, you know, since Albert retired, what does that look like for the foundation? And actually, we're moving forward. I mean, we have a 20-year plan. This wasn't something that he, it never really was something he was just doing while he was playing. I mean, this is his heart. We, of course, Albert has a daughter with Down syndrome, so that is a huge part of what we do is support the Down syndrome community locally. And then we have medical and humanitarian mission work that we do in the Dominican Republic.
It is hosted by Albert Pujols. It is Monday, September 9th, 6 to 9 p.m. The Pujols Family Foundation is the beneficiary of the Ultimate Drive. And if you've ever wanted to have a bay at Top Golf next to Cardinals players with Albert walking around, what a great chance for you, your friends, your company. No doubt about it. PujolsFamilyFoundation.org. KMOX is proud to be a sponsor of this event. Todd, we can't wait. We're going to keep updating people on this as we get to a sellout.
Appreciate you, Tom.
Absolutely. You. Todd Perry with us from the Pujols Family Foundation on KMOX. And thank you for all of your comments and calls. Truly special to hear from all of you. I know this is a tough time. I know that. 1:10 first pitch today, Cards and Twins on KMOX.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.